Why don't you grab your Bibles this morning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and we're going to read about some good news this morning. Good news that has changed not only our lives, but of course, human history and more than history, our futures for all of us. This morning we're going to be talking about God's ultimate hope that comes in Jesus Christ. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. It says, "Now on the first day of the week," that's Sunday morning, "very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining apparel. Then as they were afraid and they bowed their heads to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe in them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." Great news. The other day, on the news, they were showing a little clip of the Psychic Friends Hotline. Have you seen it? The little network there. You can call them up and they'll tell you your future, you know. And they were saying there that if you just call them up, you can find out in advance who that special mate is that the stars have aligned for you. Then they said, you know, "Are you troubled by financial difficulty? Give us a call. We know the future." Well, what was very interesting is that a few days after that, on the news, the Psychic Friends Hotline, maybe you saw it, filed for bankruptcy. They're out of money. And when I heard that, I laughed because immediately I thought, well, they should have seen it coming. But that really doesn't surprise us if you think about it. The Bible tells us that only God can foretell the future with exact accuracy. Yeah, there's false prophets and false announcements out there, but the Bible is the very Word of God, and the Bible spoke about Christ coming and His resurrection. But here on the Psychic Friends Network, they wanted you to find out what your future's all about. And you know, Dionne Warwick is the founder, I guess, and president of this, and she became famous with the singing of the song, "Do You Know the Way to San Jose?" Remember that song? You know, why would I tune into a TV program or something like that and listen to someone who doesn't even know the way to San Jose? How can they lead me in my walk spiritually? Well, the fact of the matter is, a lot of people, and maybe some of you today, have put a lot of trust in what some man has said or some group of people. Maybe you're saying, well, you know, I heard this thing by a friend maybe in a crystal ball or maybe in the horoscope, and I'm going to really seek to live my life for this thing. Well, listen, you'll become frustrated, you'll become bankrupt unless you focus on one true hope, and that is the hope that comes through Jesus Christ. And I want you to listen this morning with critical ears, not at the quality of the message or the presentation, no, but the word of the message. Because 1966 years ago on a Sunday morning, the apostles, the followers of Jesus Christ, the disciples, His people, were absolutely dejected and depressed. They had forgotten what Jesus had said. They weren't walking in faith. They were not waiting for Him in faith. They were very, very discouraged. And we're going to look at the things that God did for them and what God is going to do for us to build our hope in God. Not our hope in men, or not in hope in some system or what some medium can say. I want you to realize this morning we're talking about God's ultimate hope. And first of all, it is dependable. God's hope will never fail you. It's a dependable hope. Look with me in verses 1 and 2 of Luke's Gospel. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared." Now they came bringing spices. This was not the latest Ralph Lauren or Estee Lauder. This was embalming fluid that they had brought. Jesus was so quickly buried and put in the tomb that the women were coming to hopefully get into the tomb somehow. Remember, there's a big stone in front of the doorway. To somehow give him a proper burial. And so they came with hopes of doing their thing, but not in hope that the tomb would be empty. They were shocked to come to that tomb early in the morning and find spices in each hand, tears probably flowing down each cheek. But little did they know that, as it goes on to say, that they had found, verse 2, the stone had been rolled away. Now, I don't know if you've been to Jerusalem, and I don't know if you've been to that garden tomb where Jesus was laid, but the track is there in the ground where that stone rolled back and forth. They put these big round stones in front of the doors of tombs, because when the next family member died, they would roll it back and put that family member in and then roll that stone back over the door. And the stone that covered that door where Jesus laid was huge, massive. And so one gospel records how the women were confused and scared about how we even going to be able to move this great stone. Well, the Lord had a way of moving it. The Bible tells us in another gospel that an angel came down out of heaven and rolled that stone away. Not to let Jesus out, mind you, but to let the followers of Christ in, that they might see the tomb empty. It says that they found the tomb or the stone rolled away. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 2, it tells us that early in the morning there was a great earthquake. I remember several years ago we had an Easter sunrise service, and about 2 o'clock in the morning there was an earthquake. It wasn't all that big, but can you imagine that morning? You're there in Jerusalem, you're very depressed, and you're wondering what's going on, and you just happen to have noticed that there was an earthquake. Well, the power of heaven moved that stone away, and it took the power of heaven to do that. But the fact is, this morning that stone was rolled away. And you might say, well, I don't believe it. I don't believe in the Bible. Well, you can look at Rome's account of that stone being rolled away. Over 600 Roman centurions were positioned outside that tomb, and it was sealed with the signet ring of Rome. And if anybody tampered with that seal, they were to be put to death. And those centurions that were watching guard over that stone, if it had been bothered, they too were to be put to death. And that stone was rolled away, and Rome knew it. The non-believing world knew it. And by the way, there's no stone there today. You can go in and out of that tomb all you want, because it's an empty tomb with the stone rolled away. This is so very serious, because the next comment here is that we realize that there's no body. There is no body of Jesus Christ to be found on earth. Isn't that great news? In Mark chapter 10, verse 33, the Bible says, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man," Jesus said of himself, "will be betrayed by the chief priests and by the scribes, and they will condemn me to death and deliver me into the hands of the Gentiles, and they will mock me and scourge me and spit upon me and kill me. But on the third day, I will rise again from the dead." That's what Jesus said. So if you're a skeptic this morning, you need to be thinking. You need to take into consideration the claims of Christ. Jesus said he would be risen from the dead. And in fact, he was. But you need to come to grips with that. You need to realize today, as many of us do, that Jesus Christ is risen. And that's our hope. And that's what brings us out here in this cold weather like this. Because you know what? It's good news. It's life-changing news. It's changed our lives. But the tomb is empty. I don't know if you saw in the news this week. And of course, they've got to have it on this type of a week, right? Easter week, Resurrection week. They've got to have news like this. ABC News was reporting that some archaeologists believe that they had found the tooth of Buddha this week. Did you see that on the news? They think they have found Buddha's tooth. I don't know how they're going to find out. Is it a real fat tooth? I don't know. How do you know? But they're going to check and see, because they think they have found Buddha's tooth. Well, you will never hear of them ever finding Jesus' tooth or teeth. You won't hear them finding any of Jesus' bones. It won't happen. But all the Buddhists are so excited. We think we found Buddha's tooth. And what a message that sends forth. Well, if your Buddha is up walking around, your deliverer, he's at least toothless. Hey, listen, we're not talking about resuscitation or reincarnation. We're talking about resurrection this morning. Coming back from the dead. What is your greatest fear? Death, outside of that. Mortgage payment, outside of that, income tax, sickness, ultimately leading to death. Death is that great power that holds mankind in fear today. Jesus came and broke the chains of death. But how he accomplishes the resurrection is by his power. And it is in fact resurrection. Should we die today or in the near future, these bodies will be raised from the grave. There will be an empty spot in the grave someday when Christ calls us forth. Resurrection from the dead. As I mentioned a couple weeks ago, we were in Jerusalem and we stood in that tomb. And that tomb being empty, it's a fantastic thing to realize. And as we were standing outside, by the way, it was in the driving rain then and it was cold. This one boy, teenager from some group, I don't know where he's from, he came and he's trying to look in and he asked his friend, "What do you see?" And his friend, I remember hearing this, his friend said, "Nothing." And I thought about how great that is. That's right, nothing. And that empty tomb is a signet of our hope in Christ. That tomb is empty, and that empty tomb brings us hope. Maybe you have an empty life. Maybe your heart is empty. Maybe your heart is like a tomb. Jesus wants to give resurrection power to your life, and he's willing to do that this morning. He wants to do that in your life. You need to invite him in. It says in verses 4 through 5, though, concerning this hope, we realize that it's not only a hope that we can depend upon, it's a hope that's experiential. You can experience God's hope. It says that it happened as they were greatly perplexed. They were beside themselves with a hesitating joy, a lot of confusion and wonder. They were greatly perplexed about this. The tomb being empty. And behold, two men, angelic beings, stood by them in shining apparel, shining garments. Then as they were afraid, they bowed their faces to the earth. The women are bowing their heads down. They're scared. They're wondering what has happened. Jesus is gone. But notice what the angels say. There's a message from angelic beings. And they say, "He's not here. Jesus is risen from the dead." Now there's a lot of people getting into messages from angels these days. Well, there's only really one good message that an angel can give, and that is Christ is risen. Can you imagine the honor that these angels must have had? In heaven, they might have been saying, "Who gets to go down there and give the news?" I would have been fighting over that if I was an angel. "Let me go, let me go." Can you imagine? Who wants to send the news out that my son is risen from the dead? You see some little angel in the back standing on a chair. "Send me!" You know, what great opportunity. Well, not only that, the message that the angel sent forth reminded them of what Jesus had already said, that he was going to be risen from the dead. And with that truth comes the possibility for you and I to experience a complete life change. And by the way, that's here and now. The Christian's life can be changed by the power of the resurrection. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, now listen carefully to this. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." Don't you want to start life all over again, maybe? "All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." Jesus has the power to start your life all over again. But this hope that we can depend upon is also prophetic. He says, or the angels say in verses 5 through 6, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And that's almost a sarcastic comment, isn't it? What do you seek the living among the dead for? Last time we saw him, he was dead, and a graveyard's a good place to go to see somebody who's dead. Well, the fact is, why are you looking for him? He's risen from the dead. It's prophetic. The Bible is 100% a prophetic book. Prophecy given by the Bible, given in the Bible, is absolutely without error. Why? Because one of the hungers and desires that we have as a people is that we might know the future. Why do people call the psychic network and all these other things? That they might know the future. They want to know what's coming. If I only knew what's coming, people say. Well, God has told us. He's told us in the Bible. The Bible tells us in Isaiah that God knows the beginning from the end from the beginning. He knows all things. And He's orchestrated all things that are yet forthcoming in this world to bring Him glory and to fulfill His wonderful word. In Mark 16, verse 7, the Bible says, "But go, tell His disciples and tell Peter that He is going before you into Galilee, just as He has told you." That's prophetic. Jesus said in advance, "I'm going to die, I'm going to be risen from the dead, and I'll meet you in Galilee." And guess where they met Him? There in Galilee, in the north. Just as Jesus had said. This is a prophetic word that builds our hope, that gives us encouragement. It's very exciting. God's ultimate hope for us is also supernatural. Look at verse 6. When it says He's not here but is risen, the truth is Jesus alone has the answer for all of our cures. Now listen, if you can be risen from the dead and tell people about it before it happens, that's power. That's a lot of power. Now, we hoped that it wouldn't rain this morning on this service. Were we prophetically sure? Absolutely not. No way. Now, if we would have watched the news broadcast, the weather broadcast, they are doing what? They are prognosticating. They are prophesying. And they said, well, it's going to be sunny. But are they ever wrong? The Bible is never wrong. Always sure, always accurate. And you might be saying this morning, I want stability and I want something in my life that I can hope in again. God's Word is your hope. Are you going through mental torment, maybe emotional torment, financial difficulty or physical ailment? The Bible has your answer. What does that mean if I become a Christian, that all my troubles are going to go away? No, they will not go away. But you will be able to manage your problems because Christ says, cast all your cares upon me and I'll care for you. Isn't that a great thing? To be able to sit in His arms. I don't know what's going on, but for the last 2 weeks, we have had this little sparrow, finch actually, smaller than a pharaoh, smaller than a sparrow even. A little finch trying to get inside of our house. We even opened up the windows. And he's pecking on the window trying to get in, and he's swinging from this vine looking in the house. What's he want in the house for? He's got all of his security outdoors, but he wants to come in. I don't know what he wants to do about that, but he wants to come in. He was doing it again yesterday. He wants to come in. Maybe he thinks that it's more comfortable there, or, you know, sit by the fire or whatever with his wet feathers, you know. God says, you come to me. You come on inside of my family, of my will, of my life for you. You may think you've got everything just in place and you're in your own little world and everything's been orchestrated just fine, but you need to be maybe like that little sparrow, that little finch, and come inside to know Christ. Doesn't seem to make sense, does it? We look around at the world today and we try to get all these things that are going to give us meaning and pleasure. But the fact of the matter is, we need Jesus Christ in our hearts as King, and this morning He rose again. Nearly 2,000 years ago, that He might reign in the hearts of all of us. And the amazing thing to me is this morning, you need, if you're a doubter or a skeptic, you need to take at full face value the claims of Christ and prove Him wrong. And the first thing you'll have to do is go against the resurrection of Jesus from the dead this morning. The resurrection from the dead. The power of God to raise the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For I delivered unto you, Paul says, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day as the Scriptures have said. That's the gospel message. Isn't that great? It's good news. It's unique to Christianity and Judaism, resurrection is. There are many of those who believe that if you die, you're dead once and for all. There's darkness and no consciousness at all. Then there are those who say you want to be reincarnated over and over again. And you come back to this world. I thank God what the Bible says. The Bible says it's for the believer that when that believer dies, that believer is immediately in the presence of the Lord Jesus for all eternity. Isn't that great? Who would want to be reincarnated over and over again? Come on back until you get it right. What kind of hope is that? Jesus says, no, it's resurrection. Paul the Apostle says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And that's what we look forward to. And that's what Jesus gave us on this day of hope. The second thing we need to realize is that God's ultimate hope is believable. It makes sense to believe in this message. In verses 7 and 8, it says the Son of Man must be delivered. Jesus had to die. It was no accident. He must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, but on the third day rise again. And they, that is the women, remembered His words. Can you imagine the angels are telling them, didn't He tell you that He would rise again from the dead? And they went, oy vey. That's right, we remember. We've got it now. Now notice, guys, hang on to your seats. It says the women were there. Where were the guys? It says that the women remembered the words. Got it. Remember, thank you, Mr. Angel. I remember now. God's ultimate hope is believable. Man, all of us have been created to believe, which leads to faith. All of us have faith in something. And their hope was renewed. Their faith was renewed in the message there. Don't you remember? And finally, yes, they did remember. In verses 9 through 11, it says, then they returned from the tomb. I love this. They remembered the words that Jesus had said. And so what did they do? They didn't have a potluck. They didn't have a little cookout. They got up and they moved toward the city. They left the tomb and they went into the city and they told the 11 and all of the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Now look what it says here. First time it appears, the apostles. You can almost hear a drum roll. And they told it to the apostles. Ka-dang! And their words seemed to them like idle tales. And they didn't believe them. These are the apostles. We are the men of faith. We walked with Jesus. We heard everything He said. And what was it you just said? He's risen from the dead. That sounds like some lunatic sick story, and we're not going to believe in what you just said. We are the men of faith. You are just women. Isn't that amazing? These were the guys that God was going to hand the keys of the church over to. Would you have done that? You know, drive safely. They didn't even have any faith at that moment. They were absolutely quenched. They were swallowed up in the defeat, having no hope. You know, it's been said that when a person has no hope, they kill themselves. That when a person loses all hope, they die in a moment. I've had a chance to talk with people who have AIDS, and believe it or not, I see the mercy that's in AIDS. As horrible as it is, it takes a long time to die. And there's mercy in that. People's hearts are changed. People come to Christ. You hear somebody having cancer, and there's mercy in that cancer because they have time to think about it. They have time to repent and come to Christ. But when a person loses hope, they'll put a gun to their head and it's gone. Their lives are over when a person loses hope. God wants us to have hope, and the hope that we have in Christ is believable. The Bible spoke about Christ coming. The Bible spoke about His death and His resurrection, all in advance. There's no other book in the world that has spoken of anyone in advance. No collection of writings, no wishful thinking, nothing like that. Jesus has come to bring us hope, but they had lost hope. The men were defeated. It's interesting to me that they didn't start out this way. The men were filled with faith in the beginning. They followed Christ. They saw so many things. But the fact of the matter was, when they saw Jesus die because they didn't have faith in God, when Jesus died, their hope died. And they were absolutely in despair. And where are you today? Are you in despair? Is God perhaps altogether dead in your life? You have no real existence with God. You don't have that urgent dependence upon Him from day to day. Do you know what it's like? If you're a Christian, you certainly know what it's like. But maybe for some of you who are not, do you know what it's like to live from day to day knowing that Jesus lives? Yes, Christians have problems. Yes, Christians aren't perfect. Yes, it's hard to be a Christian. But our hope never dies. We can fall down on Sunday and get up again on Monday and get going and walk after God because He renews our hope. He strengthens us. A lot of people today in our culture, in fact, a lot of people around the world are putting hope maybe in a new house. They'll say, you know what, we need a new home. We're going to make this house like, you know, a Thomas Kincaid picture, all warm and cozy. And that's what we need. We need a new home. Let's get a new house. That's not the answer. After they have the new house, they say, you know what we need for this new house? We need a new car. We need a new car in this driveway of this new home. So let's go get a new car and we'll be, you know, feeling secure and complete. And they get a new car and it doesn't work. It doesn't fill that void. And they'll go maybe to a new person. Well, I got a new house and I got a new car. And now I need a new person in my life. Maybe I need a new this or a new that. And they'll pursue something else. And at the end, you wind up being empty with no hope. And when we're not leaning upon Christ, we'll go from thing to thing, from person to person, from item to item until Christ fills our heart. The Bible tells us that God's got the power to move inside of our lives and to fill us with such completeness that there's a deep abiding assurance that comes into our hearts. It's great news. It's a great hope that no one can take from us. If we're hoping in things, we will find ourselves connected to those things and often very, very disappointed. The Bible says in Psalm 42, verse 5, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Hope in God." Whenever we're downcast in spirit, we need to be like these women and put faith in the Lord. Having faith in God is the right thing to do. It's reasonable. It's intellectual. It makes sense. It's rational. It's practical. It's responsible to have faith in God. In fact, it's hard not to have faith in God when you look around at all that God's created and you look at the great sciences of the world that, and the laws of science that He's created. It makes sense to believe in God. Not only is God's ultimate hope dependable, not only is it believable, but finally, it's available to us. It's available. Well, Pastor Jack, how do I have it? Do I have to sign up? Do I have to maybe be a member of a church for a while? Or maybe it's, you know, when I reach that certain place of giving, there's like some great eternal scale in heaven and the thing shifts over and, oh, he's given enough. Now he can come to Christ. No, not at all. God's ultimate hope for us is available. Look with me. In verse 12, it says, "But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself what had happened." Peter had a rough few days. He had denied Christ. He had said, "I don't even know the man." He had rejected Jesus, and he was brokenhearted over it. He went out and he wept over that. And he obviously repented of that. But isn't it interesting how the Bible says in another place, "You go tell the disciples that Jesus has risen from the dead and go tell Peter." You notice why it says Peter there? Because Peter had to be the most depressed and disappointed of them all. Go tell all of the guys and be sure you tell Peter. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe that's me this morning. We need to be realizing, that God's ultimate hope is available. And Peter started to see it. He heard the story that the women were telling, the eyewitness account. He's risen from the dead, and we saw some angels there. And there's no record of Peter saying anything. It says that the men responded, but Peter arose. He took off. He ran to the tomb. And stooping down, he looked inside and he saw there the linen clothes that had wrapped Jesus' body. The word marveling here is in a wonderful word. It means to be admiring with awe. It speaks volumes. Peter heard what was said, and he went and saw what had happened, and he began to marvel and be in awe as the light began to dawn, as the sun began to shine in his heart. Again, hope renewed. God's hope is available because, listen, first of all, God's promised it. Jesus said in his opening message of his ministry, Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Are you poor this morning? You are poor, and I am poor. We need him. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Are you brokenhearted? Are things not going your way? Have you been disappointed? He's come to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus says, "I've come to proclaim liberty to the captives." We've all been held, and we are being held, if we're not in Christ, by sin's captivity. "To give recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." In John chapter 6, verse 37, the Bible says, "The one who comes unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Those are the words of Jesus. He has promised us a brand new life. And you consider this morning, you go, "Well, I don't know if I believe it." And you can walk around a church, or you can walk around your family member, or you can walk around your friend who's a Christian and say, "Well, I don't know if I believe it. I don't know if I can trust in Christ." And you can walk all the way around and never come inside. You need to come inside. You need to open up that door and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. On that morning, many of those were renewed in their faith. Some of them, their faith, so to speak, was brought back from the dead. And they believed again. This morning, as we prepare to close, I want you to consider the radical claims of Jesus Christ. Consider the radical accuracy of the Bible. Consider the scientific evidence that points to God Himself. You need to align the things that you believe in because you do believe in something. And you need to ask yourself this question: will these things or that thing that I'm trusting in take me all the way into eternity? And you might say, "Well, Jack, I'm an atheist. I don't even believe in eternity." Are you sure that you're going the right way? It's a great gamble. "Well, you know, you Christians are this way or that way, or you're praying for a miracle and it didn't happen, and all you have is peace and joy and fellowship in your life. I think there's evidence for me to be an atheist, a non-believer." Well, I guess, you know, if you want to be blinded enough and push God away, then, you know, you're going to hold to that. I understand that. But those of us who are believers, we know God lives. There's a supernatural event that takes place when Christ moves inside. And not only that, when that happens, He shows us the accuracy and the validity of His Word, the Bible. But let's say you're right. Let's say that there is no God. We all die and we go to Netherland. We all fall asleep. What will you have gained? What will I have lost? Well, I lose nothing. I lose nothing. In fact, my life had been better during this time because I had fellowship with other people, people who loved and cared. I had hope. I had peace. I had comfort and joy. But you see, an atheist, there's no existence after the grave. So we're all dead and gone. But what if we're right and Jesus is right and there is an empty tomb in Jerusalem? What if He's right and all of His claims are true and you're wrong? What will you have lost? Everything. What will we as believers have gained? All eternity. Simply because we put our faith in Jesus Christ and the truth of Him being risen from the dead. And finally, I want you to realize this, and that is God's gift and God's hope is available because it's freely given. It's a free gift. The Bible tells us that God has given us this free gift and it's free for the asking. That we just simply need to ask Christ in. The Bible says that by grace we have been saved and we receive that by faith. It is a gift given to us by God so that no man can work his way into the kingdom. It's freely given. Jesus rose again from the dead to guarantee us life eternally, and that's free. So God's ultimate hope is dependable, it's believable, it's available, and the invitation for you to accept Christ is now. Think about it, now. There's no stained glass, you only have clouds that are being filled with light. There's no ceiling, but the sky itself. There's no hype. Right there where you're sitting this morning, you can say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life and save me from my sins. The fact is, there's an empty tomb in Jerusalem. The fact is, and have you considered this, that Jesus literally died on the cross? It's not a story. What are you going to do about that? The fact is, He's alive. Jesus is living right now. We praise you for what you did for us publicly. Lord, may we stand for you now publicly. Make our confession of faith in you. And Lord, may you hold us tight and never let us slip away. Lord, keep us. There's no rule that says we must backslide. We choose to do that. The power is greater to keep us walking with you. And Lord, perhaps we have failed. So those of you who are already Christians, but you have walked away from Jesus and you want to come back home, slip your hand up wherever you're at this morning. You're saying, Jesus, I'm coming home. I'm coming back. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. You can put your hands down. As we sing this song again, those of you who raised your hands to accept Christ and those of you who want to recommit your life, I'm going to ask you to get up and come forward right now at the base of these stairs and stand boldly for Jesus. You're among friends, don't worry. You come forward as you give your hearts to Jesus. We're going to give you a Bible and get you on your way in your recommitment to Christ. So as we sing, why don't you come right up to the front of these steps down here, these yellow steps. Make your commitment to Christ. Those of you who are rededicated, you come forward as well.